This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And there is your dagger!
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jordan Love, you are as ready as ever to win a Super Bowl.
You know, not just me, but the team we have. We've all been building this thing together.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. Actor and comedian Andrew Santino. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Kurt Warner just joined us. The comedian Andrew Santino will be in studio in hour number three of this program. But joining us here is one of my favorites to play in the National Football League. You guys know how I talk about him when he's not listening to my introduction. So this is true. Mike, do you know where Salem, New Jersey is?
Yes,
of course. Where is it?
South.
It is indeed. It's south of Philadelphia.
Yes.
On the banks of the Delaware River.
Yes. Wow.
The pride of Salem, New Jersey, by way of Wisconsin football, now dominating in year six of his professional playing career. Joining us from the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor. Good to see you, sir.
All right.
How are you?
How are you, Rich?
I'm doing fine. Was that correct? Right on the banks of the Delaware River, Salem, New Jersey?
You are right. Okay. We are exit one. Exit one.
We're talking Delaware Water Gap. Is that what we're talking about, Jonathan? Exit one of the Purton Turnpike?
Exit one.
Oh, my goodness. I was exit 13, Staten Island, New York. Just 12. Wow. You and I are 12 exits apart and then in terms of turnpike and then in terms of athletic ability, just much larger than that. But good to see you, Jonathan. Good to see you. 2-0 for the first time since I think you were in the fifth grade, the Indianapolis Colts. Yep. You were 10 years old the last time that happened. What's it like to walk around this building 2-0 for the first time? Jonathan.
It's definitely a great feeling to get off to a fast start. I mean, everybody wants to get off to a fast start, but then that's where the challenge comes in. You know, how can you sustain that? How can you continue to get better each and every single week? But that's something that we look forward to. That's something that we're looking forward to attacking each and every single day that we go out there.
Now, I'm sure you were having that approach when you weren't 2-0. But the fact that you are 2-0, I mean, wearing that in practice, what feeling, and listen, and you're not hanging any banners, but it must add some sort of a confidence level to the team, right, Jonathan? No?
It definitely does. When you know that the work that you've put in individually in the offseason and then coming together throughout training camp to put together a good product on the field, that what you've been doing has been paying off. And what you guys are creating is something special. But the great teams, the elite teams, they continue to do it week in and week out.
Right. And obviously, you want to prove that the 2-0 isn't Fugazi, for the lack of a better phrase. What is it like having Daniel Jones running this offense right now, Jonathan?
I think he's very smart, especially just coming in, learning the system, but then being able to apply it quickly on the field at a high level. And you know, sometimes you see quarterbacks come into new systems, and of course it takes a little bit to kind of get everything going, knowing the checks, knowing how to operate and use that system. But I think he's got a really good grasp on the system early, and you've been able to see him execute that on the field, which has been really nice.
Can you give me an example of that?
Definitely, especially looking at some of our previous games, if you have a certain check, someone's bringing blitz zero, being able to get us out of our call into our correct blitz zero check. I mean, some of those things, you got to be able to have those tools in order to be successful, because you know, a lot of defenses will throw a lot of different things at offenses, especially when they're rolling. So you have to be prepared for those things.
What about checking into a play that's benefited you? Is there one in particular you've had?
We've had multiple runs so far that he's checked into that have gone for positive gains. And then after we get into the check, then it's on us. You know, it's on us as, you know, offensive line and running backs, the receivers, in order to go out and execute that play.
What's it like to hear a play checked into you? What's going through your skull when you hear that? Like, okay, like, what are we talking about?
Well, definitely, you know, we're checking to it because we feel as though we have an advantageous look. So okay. At the end of the day, you know that it should be a beneficial play. It should be a positive play. But then you just want to make sure, what are my alignments? What are my assignments? What are my keys on this play in order to make sure it's a successful play?
Come on now. Come on now. You're being modest. Do you sit there and go, I'm gonna shred this thing right now?
Well, you're always looking to score. You always want to score. You always want to score, but you just have to calm down sometimes and just make sure, hey, what are all of my keys? What are all of my reads on this play? Because, you know, you get too happy, you get too excited, and then you start losing the little details.
How are you better now than you were your first year, Jonathan? Walk me through that.
I'm definitely being more patient and efficient. Like I mentioned, there are a lot of times where you get plays checked to you. There are a lot of times where you see a look, And we don't have to check to it. We get the look that we want, and you kind of, in your mind, you're smiling ear to ear, and then that's when you kind of lose the details because you just think, oh, this play is going to score. I'm going to score a touchdown, but that's not how it's designed. It's designed for you to score a touchdown if you remember all of your keys and all of your reads on the play. So just like everybody wants the ball, but when it's time to get the ball, can you hone in and focus on the details? Because there's another person across from you trying to stop you. So what's going to help you is your training and all of the practice that you put in throughout the week. So definitely being more patient and understanding that, hey, let me just hone in on all the little details in order to make sure this is an efficient play. And then if you get to that point in the play where now it's time for your athleticism and things like that to take over, go and make a play.
Do you wear a chip on your shoulder that you weren't drafted in the first round?
Of course. You always feel as though you think you've put together a great body of work in college. And obviously we know at that time how they viewed running backs, and you know, they felt as though across the league that you may not need an elite running back to kind of project the team into the positive direction. But you just think you put together a good body of work. So you just want to not only prove people wrong, but you want to prove the team that did right.
Well, I was sitting around the draft when I heard your name called in the second round by the Colts. And I thought to myself two things. One, the Colts got themselves a winner, and they were lucky to get him in the second round. The other one was like, ah, thank God he's out of the Big Ten. That's what I thought. But, you know, that's just my own personal issues with watching.
I got a lot of that. A lot of people are happy I'm not in the Big Ten.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess kind of the reason why I'm bringing all this up is just to be current. You know, we saw Ashton Jeanty on Monday Night Football and taken off the field on third down, not part of two-minute drills. The conversation in Vegas is, you drafted him so high, why is he not getting some touches already in week number two? And I'm wondering how that would land, not to turn you into an analyst, but you know, you obviously have a body of work here now in year six. What would you say about the difficulty of going from, you know, big man on campus, Heisman Trophy type guy to the NFL, Jonathan?
It's definitely a transition. I mean, you talk about, you know, obviously playing in a big conference, a tough conference, but now you're playing with the best among the best, and being able to not only transition to that type of physical transition, it's a mental aspect as well. Now you're going against elite defenses with elite players. So schemes change as well as offenses. Now you're learning more intricate details with offenses in order to handle these different defenses. So it's a lot to be thrown at a person, especially when you transition from being the guy to now trying to work your way into being a guy for your new current team. And it's gonna take reps. It's only week two. It's going to take reps, and eventually, you know, it'll come and it'll click as you continue to study, as you continue to get those reps on the field. But it's definitely a transition. But you have to be mentally disciplined in order to kind of fight that learning curve.
And then just to cycle back to how we started this conversation about having a chip, about not being drafted in the first round, Jonathan Taylor, you said back then there was a way that running backs were viewed in the NFL that you don't really need an elite back in order to win. Do you feel it's now different? Do you feel you are part of a cadre of running backs that have changed the way the position is viewed in the NFL?
I do feel as though that we've been able to continue to push that narrative out of the window, not only myself, but other elite guys, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, guys who have been able to push that narrative out of the window and still put together great bodies of work. But then there's still another younger generation who's going to take it to an even, you know, higher level, guys like Bijan, guys like Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think that there's still work to be done, but it's all going to be based on how we play on the field and how we go and show the world what the position that a running back can do and how that can put your team in a great position.
Well, I mean, speaking of Big Ten guys coming to the team and balling out, Tyler Warren's had 155 receiving yards in his first two career games, which breaks the Colts franchise record set by T.Y. Hilton back in his rookie season, more than Marvin Harrison as well. What are you seeing out of him, Jonathan?
I tell a lot of people this. Like I mentioned, it's just a learning curve when you get into the NFL. And they'll expect rookies to kind of, you know, have a mistake here or there, a mental error, scheme things, schematic things. But what I noticed during training camp was he had very, very few of those. I think that's the biggest thing is getting the mental aspect. So for him to already be ahead of that learning curve, now he's just has to continue to get better and better and better. And not so much as worry, what do I have to do? What is my assignment? And I think that's huge. And I think that, you know, just coming in and being, you know, pro ready like he was, he'll continue to get better. But I think he's been awesome so far. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he continues to grow.
And Daniel Jones appears to be looking for him too, right? I mean, it just seems to be clicking, man, for a guy that in Jones who comes in, and obviously we know about the quarterback competition and how it played out and what was going on. And to go 2-0 and how this offense has performed with the defense balling out as well, I'm just wondering what leadership Daniel Jones is bringing to the table that might be followed right now, Jonathan.
And definitely one thing with Daniel, he's been around for a minute, so having that in the room, like I mentioned, probably also played into him coming in and being able to grasp the playbook and the scheme very quickly. But him being able to go out there and lead a team, I mean, he's had years where he's led a team into the playoffs, so being able to have a person at the helm that has been there, that's done that. I mean, it just reminds me back when, you know, we had Phillip Rivers, you know, and I get flashbacks because I see the number and I'm like, I get flashbacks. Not to say that he's, you know, at that stage in his career that old, but at the end of the day, you know, he's been there, he's done that, he's been around. So being able to kind of, you know, take the helm inside of the huddle and then us around him, you know, being able to help him, being in our correct spots, making those plays that we need to make. And I think that if we continue to grow and build this chemistry, that will be pretty tough to stop.
In a few minutes I have left with you, the ownership, as we all know, Jim Irsay, who I adored, passed away, and what an emotional week one it was to see his name go in that ring. I wasn't there. I can only imagine what it was like. And, you know, Carly Irsay Gordon is on the sideline with a headset taking notes. Have you gone up to her after you've scored and just said to her, hey, mark that one down and, you know, put a plus next to it, put a star next to it. Can we keep running this thing? Have you said something like that to her?
I would hope after a touchdown play, she'd put a plus down, but I think it shows her character. I think it shows her commitment to, hey, I'm going to know everything inside and out of this building. And it's the type of dedication that her father had, that Mr. Irsay had. And I just think it's beautiful to see that the transition has been so seamless and that they, you know, they've been preparing for this, to kind of being able to take the helm. And it's interesting to see that she's so committed, but not only committed, but she's so fascinated with actually learning as much as she can about the game of football. Of course, she already knew a bunch about the game, but she wants to know everything in and out with the scheme. So I think when you have an owner on that level, I mean, it just shows the level of dedication and commitment with the Irsay family.
Do you know if anything is done with this information other than to make a transition more seamless and more of an understanding of what's going on? Does she have a conversation with anybody else about this information, best you can tell, Jonathan?
I was going to say, I mean, I don't know all of the conversations that she has. Those are okay. Those are high-level conversations.
Understood.
Those are above me, but okay. Whatever it is, I do know that they're doing everything in their power to make sure this organization is going in the right direction and continuing her father's and the Irsay family's legacy.
All right, so then let's finish this interview with things you can control. Two things. First of all, your game. Are you aware of how many 200 or more scrimmage yard games you've had in your career and with whom you're in a company with in the Indianapolis Colts and Baltimore Colts organization? Are you aware of this, Jonathan?
Not.
No. All right. You just came up with your fifth career one. The only one in the history of the Colts with more is Edgerrin James. He's got one more. Lenny Moore and Marshall Faulk, another famous 2-8, have four. You just passed. You just broke a tie with them. The other three guys are in the Hall of Fame. How does that hit you when you hear that, Jonathan?
It's definitely very encouraging to know that the path that some of these other greats have walked, that I'm able to be in that shadow. But it also lets me know that there is still more work to be done, mm-hmm. Because they didn't just stop there. They kept going. They found a way to keep getting better. So it kind of gives you that hunger to say, what else can I do? How can I get better? What can I do today to make me 1% better? Because I know that's how they got in that position that they're in. And of course, you know, every person on that field wants to be the best football player that they can be. They want to be the best football player on the field. And the only way to do that is to try to have that battle with yourself and win of getting better each and every single day.
Do you have these individual goals though? Do you have any?
Definitely.
Okay. And where do you store these? Are they written somewhere?
I don't write my goals down because it's with me all the time. It's almost like whatever your goal is, every single thing that you do each and every single day should be a reflection of you trying to obtain that goal. So it never leaves my mind. It never leaves my mind. I know some people write it down, which is great. Visualization is awesome. But for me, it stays with me 24/7. Everything I do every day, I say, is this going to help me get closer or further away from my goal?
Okay, so it never leaves your mind. Does it ever leave your mouth to anyone on planet Earth, Jonathan?
Of course, all of the time.
Who?
All of the time.
Who do you tell your individual goals to?
I tell everybody my individual goals.
How about me?
I'm sure a lot of other people have the same goals.
How about me? How about me on live Disney Plus, ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM? What about that? How about me?
Look, I have no problem, Rich. I have no problem at all.
What are your individual goals? Give me your individual goals.
We'll give it to you.
Okay.
So, of course, throughout high school, throughout college, I've been able to just play in some really, really fun games, some really, really big games, but I've never been able to become a champion. So my number one individual goal, which is also probably a lot of other people's goals, is I want to become a Super Bowl champion.
Yes, right. That makes sense. But that's also a team goal. I'm talking about, 2,000 yards? Did you see Saquon and go, I want one of them? All-purpose records? What about that? What about those sorts of things?
But then if you get 2,000 yards and you don't win the Super Bowl, then you're like, man, I would definitely trade for a Super Bowl, which is awesome though, because Saquon got both.
That's he did.
that is actually awesome.
He did.
So he got both.
Yeah, he kind of did both. So, okay. All right. So I'm just Hall of Fame. What about that? That sort of stuff. I just mentioned you with other Hall of Famers.
That would be a dream come true. That would be amazing. But it doesn't stop with just wanting to be in a Hall of Fame. What you have to do is you have to show that you are an elite player, a consistent player year in and year out. Some of those names that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, they showcase that. Every single year, every single game, every single day. And that's what I have to continue to chase here while I'm here in Indianapolis.
All right. Before I let you go, I have an individual goal that you can help me with, Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay. This nickname of Danny Dimes, that's a monetary amount that is not valuable enough by the way he's playing. You understand what I'm saying? Like dimes. Come on now. All right. I understand it's in reference to throwing dimes. I get it. But at the end of the day, and I know Indiana Jones is a new nickname for him. That's great. It can't be better than that. So what I'm about to say isn't better. It's to reconfigure the Danny Dimes. So if he keeps playing like this, how about Danny Diamonds, Jonathan? What do you think about
Danny that? Diamonds?
Okay.
Danny Diamonds. We might have to actually get some diamonds to put on him. I mean, I know you've seen the video with Kirk Cousins around it. Yes. We might have to get some diamonds for Danny then.
See, now this is why you are who you are. You have great field vision. You know what I mean? Like that was great. That was great. You saw the hole and you just hit it, but then you moved to score. That's why I'm telling you about it, because now if he keeps playing this way, he scores a touchdown or whatever, diamonds on him. He's Danny Diamonds. Let's go.
I'll run it by him and I'll let you know.
Thank you very much, Jonathan Taylor. That's all I ask. It's very simple. That's all I ask. Thanks for the time, man. Keep balling out. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Rich.
Right back at you. That's Jonathan Taylor, who yes, I appreciate yes, not just sir. His game, but the fact he's no longer in the Big Ten right here on the Rich Eisen Show. My God. And plus that, too, I am going to clip what he had to say and show it to my kids, which is everything you do throughout the day is indicative of your goals. And how are you doing what you are doing to achieve your goals? What an incredible way to approach life. And to be goal-oriented, but people-oriented, team-oriented, mm-hmm. individual-oriented, and just not a wasted minute. Everything you do, every rep, every moment, everything you do when you're talking to other people, walking around the building, conducting yourself. That's why he's one of my, if you will, adopted sons in the NFL.
If I could just give him a small piece of advice. There was a man who was really good at running the football who wrote all of his goals out on paper. His name is Emmitt Smith. Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, just something that he should know.
But it's in his head.
And sometimes you put it out there on paper.
Well, he just put it out there on the Rich Eisen Show, which is outstanding.
That's why everything you say gets aggregated.
Fourth all-time winning rusher in NCAA history.
There we go. That's why I was happy to get them the hell out of Wisconsin.
Back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons.
Will you do me a favor? Look
and
up
he only missed a 2,000 his freshman year by 23 yards.
Can you look up what he did against Michigan?
Sure.
Look up the game logs.
His last year there?
He saved some extra special nastiness for the University of Michigan. And I couldn't believe he slipped through the first round. But that was the time when maybe you're saying, we're not using a first-round pick on a running back, and now some NFL teams are like, yeah, we are. Chargers and Raiders in particular.
All right, his junior year, 23 carries, 203 yards.
Am I wrong?
Two touchdowns.
That leaps out at me. I think he did it again as well.
Let's see. His sophomore year, at Michigan, 17 for 101.
Yeah. He was pretty damn good, man. And the Colts have a winner just once again. He's got seven straight games with 70 or more rush yards. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. And they're taking on the Tennessee Titans this week to go 3-0. We take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I have my power rankings. Oh, yeah, he was the offensive player of the week we just had on the program. Oh, that's an oh, by the way.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful, and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays hit different when you earn them. We've got you covered with outdoor power equipment from Kobalt and everything you need to weatherproof your deck with Trex decking. Plus, with lawn care from Scotts and, of course, Pit Boss grills and accessories, you can get a home field advantage all season long. So get to Lowe's, get it done, and earn your Sunday. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
Back here on our program, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance. Visit progressive.com or .com today. Nick in Portland, Oregon. Let's take his phone call. What's up, Nicholas?
Hey, guys. It's actually Noah.
Ah. Oh, okay.
Noah in Portland, Oregon. Nick's okay, though, too.
It's pretty interesting. We're collecting Adam misfires on our screen by two, so we're halfway home. what's on your mind, Noah?
Hang on. Hold on a second. That was...
Technically, it is Nick, so
Adam's
right.
My screen's not working,
so I picked the saw that wrong one.
We'll figure this thing out.
Mike needs to raise his hand. He did.
I took the foul.
So you just threw Noah back on hold?
Noah's back on hold, yes.
At least he didn't hang up on him.
I put the right guy. I didn't hang up on him.
As long as he didn't hang up.
Well, I mean, we could have.
Okay.
All right, Nick, you have the floor.
And then just hold. I'll hold Noah. It's an executive decision.
What is happening on this program?
Nothing that we're shocked by. Let's be honest.
Now the names in there. I can see both of the names. They popped in.
All right. Nick.
Sorry.
Who are we talking to?
We're talking.
Nick. Are we sure? Nick, it's an N. Nick. It's definitely Nick.
Nick, you there?
You guys.
Nick, this
that
is
was
Nick.
Fun.
Hey, Nick.
Hey,
Nick.
Hey,
hey, hey. The show,
what's
G?
Going on, Nick?
Hey, so quick deal. My son, I just moved him to college. He's at Orange Coast running track, and he and my wife surprised me with tickets to the Bronco game this weekend.
Hey.
Because we're big Broncos fans in our household. Yes. However, this is my first game that I'm watching live in my life.
Oh.
So I'm a little nervous, and I'm probably going to need a preemptive bro hug because I'm a bit of an optimistic Bronco fan here, and they haven't looked all that hot the past couple weeks, and the Chargers are kicking ass, and I'm just trying to wrap my brain around how this is going to look.
I don't know, man. This is a home game, and anybody will tell you, you know, sometimes home games in SoFi Stadium turn into away games for the home team. I don't know how many Broncos fans are
sure. The Chargers are too good to be selling their
We'll find out, by the way. And we'll find out. And by the way, if there's anybody that might sit there and go, what the hell's happening? We're 2-0, we're killing it. Or if it's down the road, we're 8-1 and we're killing it. And I'm looking up and I'm seeing all these people wearing Minnesota purple. You know, Jim might call it out. I don't know. We'll see down the road. But in terms of, you know, the Broncos, I thought Bo Nix absolutely played better in week two than week one. This kid Franklin, who you would know up there in Oregon, man, I picked him up in three fantasy leagues. I think he has got it. He flashes. He is big. He is tall. He's fast. He's good. And that, you know,
I just think that their defense, had they played two teams in fairness to both of them, with all due respect, none of us thought that either one of those teams were going to be as good as they were both weeks one and week two. So, you know, credit to both of those squads. But had the Broncos played anybody better than those two teams, they'd have gotten boat raced in both of those games.
I don't know.
And it's not about the defense. Their offense just looks awful. And Sean Payton needs to get a hold of that quickly, otherwise it's going to get out of hand real fast.
And by the way, Nick in Portland is coming on strong. Hey, Nick, one leverage penalty and it's 2-0. So we'll see what happens. Happy birthday!
I don't even think that's a leverage penalty. If you ask me, they called the wrong guy. If they're talking about it, I looked at that film five different times and for different angles, and I don't see the leverage. And the guy they did call leverage, he didn't even get leverage. He was on the ground half the play. So I'm not sure what the hell's going on in the league these days.
The hell going on?
Well, in terms of Nick in Portland just firing up. Put Noah on. Now you got to put Noah on.
Noah's on.
They're both from Portland.
Nick and Noah from Portland, Oregon. Really?
Yes.
Apparently,
there were two.
Apparently, and Noah, you had it counted against you that you weren't Nick. Mike just fired you back on hold.
Sorry, Noah.
My God,
that was on me.
And if it's Nick's birthday, because it's my birthday, and if it's Nick's birthday as well, that would be insane.
That's what I'm saying. See, I'm mentally...
Okay, I hit my hats off to you.
That's it.
Get Nick back on the phone.
We're collecting birthdays by two. Exactly. Oh, my God. All right.
Shout out to Anna real quick. I wanted to talk about two things real quick. First of all, in regards to the Ben & Jerry's with your top five ice creams, no pun intended, but Rocky Road is kind of a vanilla response.
Okay.
With all the flavor they got going on.
Nice. Isn't Rocky
I want to talk about my Panthers. I predicted a 4-0 on my win-loss.
Yeah, that's not happening, though.
If they go 0-3 and or 0-4, what's more likely? That they're going to bench Bryce Young again, Canales is going to be on the hot seat, or they're just going to let the ship just right itself?
I don't think Canales is on a hot seat. I don't
think Bryce is getting benched either.
I think we need a coach whisper.
I don't know, man.
Quarterback whisper.
Hold on, let me just see here. Andy Dalton's still sitting there. I got it. Noah in Portland, you had them starting 4-0 and then losing three of their next four and had them going 9-8 at the end. There's a long climb to go.
It's not unreasonable. It can still happen, just not in the way I predicted.
Okay. Anybody else whose birthday is in Portland who's got a four-letter name that starts with the letter N?
Nate from Portland, Oregon.
If there's any birthday Nates in Portland, call in. And
I'd like to know what Noah's ice cream flavor is.
What is your top five?
Which is delicious. Yeah. Just give us one.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm a Baskin Robbins guy, with all due respect.
We're still talking flavor, though.
Baseball nut for Baskin Robbins and purlins and cream, man, on a waffle cone.
No, important. Happy birthday to you. Very good.
See, I wasn't completely crazy. That's what I'm saying.
Both being Portland and N names.
Hey, guys, stop acting like he did that on purpose. He lucked into that. All due respect, Mike.
There's been many ad hoc with all due respects that are totally disrespectful because you must lead with that in order to say something disrespectful and get away with it.
I know it. That's why I said it the way I did.
Everybody just went, you know.
With all due respect.
Disrespectful, and then said, with all due respect. Yeah. You can't, listen.
What they should tell you is I didn't mean it.
We'll just give everyone the benefit of the doubt in case we're somewhat new to people because of our Disney Plus, ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Channel 80 on SiriusXM.
Jerry Rice.
A new world. We might have new viewers, new listeners. If you're going to say something disrespectful on the Rich Eisen show, and if you want to get away with it, you must lead with the phrase "with all due respect." You can't say something disrespectful and then say "with all due respect" after. You can't
when you mean to be disrespectful.
I guess true.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. But there's no holding your finger on the chess piece of something disrespectful and taking it off saying, "Oh, well, that was my move." With all due respect, you can't do it. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. What you can do is sit back and enjoy my power rankings for week number three. There are three new teams on it.
I made it last week.
Two new teams and one that's back on the list from week one.
On the list.
Here we go. Hit it. Go for it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, here we go.
We go.
I got a new team on the list to start us off.
I bet I know
new
who it is.
To the list. Who is it?
Dallas Cowboys.
That's absolutely not. I will just sit here and say it's one of only two 1-1 teams on the list.
You don't know what you're talking
about. Only two 1-1 teams on the list, and neither of them are the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, this list is fugazi.
It is not fugazi. Oh. You're fugazi for sitting here and thinking that the Cowboys are a top 10 team in the NFL.
Listen, bro.
All right. Giving up 450 yards to Russell Wilson and needing a 60-yarder to bail you out.
Yeah, a win is a win,
that's
Richard.
Not great.
A win is a win.
That's not great.
I'm putting the Atlanta Falcons 10th on this list.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. I liked what I saw.
Wow.
I liked that they did not let the Minnesota Vikings off the mat. Bijan is Bijan again, and I just in terms of being called that way, he's always been the same running back. How about Kyle Pitts, man?
He's back. It's finally Pitt season.
But it's the defensive pass rush that had me at hello there.
For sure.
And the fact that they have the kicking game settled if, John Parker Romo can't lose, was there in week one, they might be 2-0. So I've got them 10th on the list here. Number 9, new to the list. You're 2-0. Indianapolis Colts are sitting here on at number 9. I like what they're doing, man. They've got the defense cooking. They've got a punter who is basically a holder on extra points and field goals because he hasn't punted in 2 straight weeks to start the season. If you told me a team would start the season by scoring on their first 10 possessions, I would never have named the Colts, but it's the fact of the matter. Daniel Jones is playing extremely well. The Colts are 2-0, and they have to be on my power ranking list.
Have to be.
But they're 9, and then 8 is back on the list. The Detroit Lions are back on the list.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah, they are. That's the team that I needed to see. We didn't see them in week 1. They are going to have a very difficult schedule ahead of them. And it starts with the final game of week 3. It's a Monday nighter against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that's tough.
In Baltimore, right? And then you look at they go through Ohio. They visit Kansas City, which might not be that tough a game, but I have a feeling Kansas City's bouncing back. That Monday nighter against Tampa and Detroit, I can't wait for that one. You look at this schedule and some of the games are tough. They should win some of them. That 50 burger had me thinking this is Dan Campbell's message to everybody in the locker room and outside of the locker room. You know, the kneecap biting is back, and they're 8th on the list.
Okay.
Number 7, up one spot, are the Los Angeles Rams.
Rams. Who's home?
The Rams' house.
Yeah.
Seeing Matthew Stafford at one point duck down, not bend over at the knee, but just squat down to avoid a sack and then pop back up and play football the way that he did. I thought, okay, the back's fine. My back hurt watching it. And Puka's running one in from 45 out. Devontae Adams is catching him. This is what we're talking about. And that defense is not messing around. So I can't wait for the Rams versus the Eagles. Number 6, up one spot are the Buccaneers. I just can't get enough of Baker Mayfield, as you know. I am concerned about their pass rush. You know, Kancey's now out for the season.
Yep.
And I look forward to Tristan Wirfs getting back in. But they're 2-0, and Baker's doing his thing. And the running game looks terrific. They're going to get Godwin back. I think they've got a very nice
Bucky
future and a run ahead of them. Number 5, let's get to our top 5. The Ravens are, I guess I lied. There's 3 1-1 teams on the list, and this is the highest ranked one. Ravens are terrific, top to bottom, left to right. They're up one. They had a great second half, and they're a top 5 team in the NFL. But the Ravens are not the team with the highest ranked Harbaugh. The Chargers are a top 5 team in the NFL. They're a top 4 team in the NFL. They are cooking. They are absolutely a nightmare to handle defensively. And their defense is a nightmare for your offense. And their running game hasn't even gotten started yet. I mean, Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris have yet to start cooking. And they're top 4. What a way for them to start. They've won in 2 different hemispheres in 2 weeks. I think the Eagles didn't even pull that one off last year. They won in Brazil and then lost the next week. They went 2-2 to start the season. So the Chargers are winning on a Friday, on a Monday. Now they're going to try and win on a Sunday in the Northern Hemisphere at home. Number 3 on the list. Get ready, because this stays like
A buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills at 3. And then the Green Bay Packers are 2. And they
stays like a buffalo.
And then the rent still is being paid to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Stays like a buffalo.
Who are still number 1 on my power rankings list.
Get 3 there, Rich. I like that.
Off the list are the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Commanders go from 4th on my list all the way off. I am genuinely concerned about Jaden Daniels' ability to get back and be healthy for a bit. If we're talking about a knee injury, and it could be a week, who knows? He might be out there with a brace on Sunday, performing well, and I'll put him back on my power rankings happily.
And the running game is kind of a...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Like I said, trading Brian Robinson Jr. before the season, they might regret that in the long run.
All right, so 3-2-0 teams.
Bill Kraske might take care of business there. I don't know. But yeah, Chiefs, Steelers, Commanders off. Falcons, Colts, Lions, either new or back on.
2-0 Cardinals, 2-0 49ers, 2-0 Bengals, not on the list.
Well, 2-0 Bengals, even though I say the season's not over, I still think, like I said, if their backup quarterback is a 500 quarterback, they could make the playoffs. One game above. That's all we need Jake Browning to be. Because he's got a 2-0 base. But does that make them a top 10 team in the NFL? I don't think so.
Well, you think he's just as good as Joe Burrow, so why not?
I didn't say he's just as good as Joe Burrow. I said, would I call Joe Burrow a 500 quarterback over 15 games?
Well, he's
would like, I say yeah. I'm expecting Joe Burrow to be just one game over? That's all I need out of Joe Burrow. Stop it. Stop trying to twist my words, sir. How dare you?
Meanwhile, before the show, Rich Brockman's trying to make an argument that they're equally as good.
Their stats are the same.
Yeah, but he would not.
But you even heard what Kurt Warner said in hour one, is that there are certain throws that Browning's not going to make that they expect Burrow to make. And then there are certain things in terms of intangibles and in terms of greatness and in terms of ability to focus with the intensity to be at its highest in a playoff game. Burrow is second to none. So I'm just saying the season's not over. Like, just already start tanking for you know, name anybody who's coming out of the draft that's not a quarterback. I'm not saying that. We're back on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance in just a moment. Maybe you'll see us a little sooner on Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere. Hour number three with Andrew Santino back in studio on this program in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen, we're a perfect example of we live in a football world in the United States of America, sports conversation, right? It's anything is football-wise is fodder for discussion, and we are at the forefront of this sort of thing. But we love baseball around here as well. And what's happening, again, in the baseball world, I think we take it for granted. Last night, Shohei Ohtani started a game through 5 no-hit innings, was taken out. They got to get him, keep him ready for the playoffs. And then he hit his 50th home run of the season later in the game. Let me repeat this. A Major League Baseball player who happens to be an international celebrity started a baseball game through 5 no-hit innings, stays in the game as a hitter, and hit his 50th home run of the season. This happened last night, and it's barely a blip. Like, we led the show about, you know, Tyrod Taylor starting for the Jets, 0-2 Jets, and then, you know, Jake Browning getting his start for the Bengals and what that looks like for a 2-0 team in Cincinnati. And, you know, the Mets and the Reds are kind of battling it out for a wild card spot. I think your Mets are going to be safe at the end of the day, despite falling off a cliff lately.
I mean, man.
Red Sox blew it last night, too.
But, yeah, and the Yankees were up 10-1 and then won 10-9. Yeah. It went from a laugher to a nail biter. And the Dodgers lost the game, by the way, to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, they were up 4-0, and the Phillies came all the way back.
Right, and we may be living in a Milwaukee or a Wisconsin world at the end of the day if the Brewers win the World Series and the Packers go on to the Super Bowl. But the long story short is, let me just repeat this. A human being on planet Earth is a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, tough enough as it is.
Very.
Okay. He throws 5 no-hit innings. And of course, he's being taken out because, you know, we're ramping him up. Shohei is not going to go. I mean, could he have? I don't know how many pitches he had when they took him out, but it makes no sense. I mean, listen, the playoffs are 10 games away. Keep him ready. Save your powder. Dodgers at some point are going to have to take. Could be the Mets. Could be your Metropolitans, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be taking on the only 30-30 player in Major League Baseball right now.
68 pitches for Ohtani.
The guy everybody said was
it's your guy, Juan Soto. And if Jazz Chisholm hits a home run, he'll join him. Shohei Ohtani threw 5 no-hit innings, stayed in the game, and then hit his 50th home run of the season.
That's insane.
How many stolen bases does he have?
On the year?
Yeah. Look that one up.
Let's see.
It's unreal. And it does. We're taking it for granted. We're absolutely taking it for granted right
You're
now.
Right. Us Dodger fans are.
Oh, stop it. God.
19 steals for Ohtani.
Okay. So he could have a 50-20 season, right?
Do you think it's because Shohei's so good, you just kind of used to it. You just expect it.
I guess.
It has to be.
Because I was watching this game last night. It was great.
I'm sure it was. It's two great baseball teams, the defending champs, the Philadelphia Phillies, who've been lights out of late.
It was sick. It went to extras. Like the Phillies hit a 3-run homer to take the, you know, to go past
it. Was a great baseball game. I'm sure. But yes, we are taking it for granted. And plus Ohtani isn't like going 7-8 innings. He's still rehabbing it back. Mm-hmm. But he's got enough under his belt to be starting in a playoff game. Now that will garner some attention.
Absolutely.
He starts a playoff game and goes 5 because that's all everybody goes anymore in a playoff game. Jack Morris is not walking through that door anymore. Right. Okay.
Frank Viola is done.
There's a third time through the order, and, you know, that rules the day for most. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're going to see someone from Major League Baseball go 7 innings, who would it be? Scooble, who apparently used to be okay. Your guy Crochet might go 7.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Somebody, one of these stellar studs on Seattle might go 7.
Now maybe the guy who pitched last night for Philly, Christopher Sanchez.
Okay. Could it be Ohtani ramping it up?
I'd be
shocked.
Let's
get him 80 pitches, 90 pitches. He's efficient enough. So if he goes, if he starts a playoff game and pitches like that, mm-hmm. You don't have to go no hit. Any homers? Come on now. But we're taking the time out to talk about it. We have to.
Yeah, I haven't seen it on any other show today.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's it. He's just so good that we're just like, it's like when Steph Curry makes a 3 from 35 and he makes 3 of them. I go, I'm more surprised when he misses.
All right. Yeah, he's throwing 5 no-hit innings and then stays in the game because he can hit pretty well. Oh, and he hits his 50th home run of the season. Yeah. That's nuts.
He's something else.
We'll never see it again. Ever.
Which I guess is why we really should pay more attention because, like you said, you're not going to see this again.
We just did.
He hit the home run at like midnight on the East Coast.
I know. That's another thing, too. You know? Out here on the left coast.
Yeah.
Right.
But we don't live out there, Chris. We live here.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Andrew Santino is going to be joining us in studio in hour number 3. When we come back, your phone calls as well here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.